the blood Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. What does it do? It reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength will never, ever, ever lose its power. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, that even after more than 2,000 years, it's just as powerful now as it was then. And if I could get three or four of you all in here today, I'll make five. That had it not been for the blood of Jesus. How many know if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Not because I've been so good. Come on, I need some honest folk in here today. Not because I've lived so well, but because he looked beyond my faults and met every one of my needs. How many know the blood of Jesus covers up your faults? For folk look at you and they see what you used to be. Jesus looks at you and see what you can be. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that covers up all of my sins. Matter of fact, what can wash away my sins? What is it that can make me whole again? Tide won't do it. Downy won't do it. Clorox is pretty good, but that won't do it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and play that, Brother Stephen. Just think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. Not just one day. Yeah. Can you make one more round for me? Just one more round. Think about the goodness of Jesus and how he covered up all of your sins and all of your mess ups. Amen. I'm going to start early today. Would you tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, thank God for the blood. That was the wrong neighbor. They didn't shout. Tell the other neighbor, thank God for the blood. Somebody still ain't got it yet. Turn to the person behind you. Tell them, thank God for the blood. The blood. And know he could have come down, but he decided it was his decision to die for you and I. Amen. I want to look at a passage of scripture, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Let's begin reading at verse number 43. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. I want to talk today from the thought, how to stop the bleeding. How to stop the bleeding. I mentioned earlier our racial bias study. And the fact that we were talking about how down through the years black people have been oppressed, how black people have been denied due process. How black people have been shoved to the back and for many years thought to be less than other races. We look at the history of slavery and how we were brought over as slaves. And how not only were black people oppressed, but how Indians were run off of their land. How half of America really belonged to Mexico, but in their greed and in their search for power, those things were taken from them. We looked at how even after Emancipation Proclamation, we were still separate and not equal. How Jim Crow laws, how the white fountain was over here and the black fountain was over here. The white restroom was over here. The black restroom was over here. How we could not go in the front of the door at a restaurant. We had to go to the back of the door. How they would hang us for what they thought we were looking at their white women. How we were just abused and misused. And that even today, we're still not equal, even not economically, politically, and otherwise. And in our discussion, I started to think about the fact that is all of it really their fault? Dallas had 39 murders during the month of May. 30 of those murders were black on black crime. Yesterday in Fulton, Arkansas, they discovered what they think is the body of a little girl named Malia Davis from Houston, Texas, who was 99% they're sure killed by her stepfather, who is black. If we are ever to stop the bleeding, it has to stop within our race. We are our own worst enemy. We are jealous of one another. We are envious of one another. We can't get along with each other. Instead of striking out against who we think it was oppressed us, we strike out against one another. How do we stop the bleeding? It's amazing to me that we cannot get along for 2 hours, even at a worship service. That we always find something wrong with somebody. And I've lived long enough to know that there's something wrong with all of us. There are no perfect people in here today. And if we would stop focusing up on what's wrong with other folk and look at the man and the woman in the mirror and try to decide and figure out what's wrong with us, I think we'd get along a little bit better. In this text, this term that is used by not only Luke, but also in Matthew, in Mark. If you've got the King James Version, it is a word used in that day and time. It's also a contemporary word that we use today. We all use not about ourselves, but about somebody else. And that is that this woman had an issue of blood. All of us in here today have said about somebody else at some time or another, they got issues. We use that terminology to talk about someone who's got some problems, somebody that's got some misunderstandings. I've come to realize that if you're living, there is no escaping having some issues. Everybody in here's got one or two. So some of us got four or five. Some of us have multi-issues, but all of us have some issues. You cannot and will not live without some issues. One writer has said, the only way you never stub your toe is you never move, because as long as you move, you'll stub your toe. But as long as you stand still, you'll never get hurt, but eventually you've got to move. And pain and failures come with movement. Listen, if you're standing still, nothing's going to happen. But as long as you move, listen, there's some pain, there's some hurt, there's some things that are going to happen to you. It's a very familiar passage. This woman is popular for her failures and her fruitlessness. We're never given this woman's name. We're only told her condition. How awesome it is when nobody knows your name, but they do know your condition. I'm amazed at folk in the church that don't know their name, but they'll come to me and say, Pastor, you know who I'm talking about. I can't think of their name. I don't know what their name is, but Pastor, you need to say something to them. Pastor, you need to talk to them, because they've got some issues and they've got some problems. Don't even know their name, but they know their issues. Isn't it amazing that I meet folk that don't know me, but I tell them I'm the pastor of Mount Moriah, and they say, Oh yeah, I know you. I can't call your name, but I've heard you can't keep a wife. They don't know my name, but they think they know my condition. Isn't it amazing that folk don't know your name, but they do know your condition? I see some of y'all laughing, but y'all got some conditions too. They don't know her name, but they know her issue. The Bible declares that she's got some blood problems. In the biblical perspective from the Old Testament, blood was representative of life. Blood equaled life, but bleeding equaled death. So that, if you will, the woman was going through something that was emptying her of her life. Have you ever been through something that you felt like was emptying you of your life, draining all of the life out of you? Have you ever had something that emptied you of your smile, emptied you of your confidence, emptied you of your attitude? You don't smile like you used to. You don't speak to people like you used to. You don't laugh like you used to. You come to church and you don't even sing like you used to. You don't praise God like you used to. You don't shout like you used to. You aren't respectful like you used to be. You don't have manners like you used to. That's because you're bleeding. And you've got to determine and find out what it is that's causing you to lose your blood. Some of you sitting in here today, you've allowed something or someone to drain all the life out of you. You know it's not good for you. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a job. Whatever the situation is, it's draining you.
You've lost your will to live. You don't even listen. Care if you wake up the next morning. You don't care what happens to you. You've allowed it to drain the life out of you. Listen, I made up my mind. I will not be involved in anything that causes me to not sleep at night. Are you hearing me? Listen, I had to get to the point where I no longer allow my children to make me lose sleep. Because whatever they're doing, they're going to be doing it anyway. So I will not allow them to cause me to lose sleep. My oldest boy, I don't mind, y'all know I'm transparent. My oldest boy this week hadn't had a license in about 4 years. Inspection, registration, been out 2 years. Been telling him, son, you know, you need to get your car registered. Son, you need to get your license. Got tickets from here to Houston. $6,000-$8,000 worth. Just tickets everywhere. And, you know, driving like he's a peacock. You know, digging the scene with a gangster lean, just cruising everywhere he go. And every time I mention it to him, Daddy, I'm grown. I know what I'm doing. I know how to avoid the police. I say, son, you need to get your car registered. You need to get your license. You need to get these tickets taken care of. Well, about 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, my phone rang. Some 866 number. I answer the phone. You have a collect call from an inmate at the Arlington City Jail. Press 1 to accept. Press 2 to reject. Press 3 to put money on a card so they can call back again. So I press 1. My oldest boy. I said, what's up, son? Daddy. I got stopped this morning. And Dad, I got to start work in the morning. I need to get out of here, Daddy. Daddy, can you get me a bondsman to get me out of here? I say, son, how long I've been telling you about them tickets? How long I've been telling you about your driver's license? How long I've been telling you about your registration? But Daddy, I need to get out of here. I said, well, let me check and see what's up. So I called the city. He had tickets in Arlington, tickets in Fort Worth. Tickets everywhere. So I start calling around different bond people to bond them out. About every 10 minutes, the phone ringing. You have a collect call. No, I ain't taking all them calls. First call cost me $16 for 5 minutes. So I started looking around. He kept on calling. Finally, I took another call. I said, son, if you'll be patient, I've got somebody going to get you out. It'll be later on today. But Daddy, it's cold in here. I ain't got no clothes on. All I had on was some shorts and two T-shirts. That took one of them and took my socks. Dad, it's cold. And Daddy, please come get me. Daddy, please get me out. But he would not listen when I was trying to talk to him. And I said that today because we've got some graduates here today. I know you think your parents are old folk. I know you think they don't know what they're talking about. I know you are a high school graduate. You think you got it going on. But listen, they been where you're trying to go. And if anybody's going to tell you the truth, it's mama and daddy.
And if you want some real guidance, if you want somebody to tell you like it is, listen to your mama, your daddy, your grandmama, those who have been around you all of your life. This nation is set up on laws. You remember when the disciples asked Jesus, said, should we pay the taxes to Caesar? And Jesus pulled a fish out and told them to look in the mouth of the fish, and they pulled out some coins, and he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God that which is God. In essence, he was saying, you've got to obey the laws of the land. Listen, I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. You've got to obey the laws of the land. You can't get away with it. Sooner or later, they're going to find you and catch you. Got to do. In the story, he got out. He's working. He bowed. Listen, when he got out, I said, son, stay out of that car. Dad, I got to get to work. I said, the train goes to the airport every day. I called him yesterday. I said, where are you, son? Oh, Dad, I'm over in Garland. I said, how you get over there? I drove. I said, listen, don't call my number no more. If I ever, listen, y'all listen to me good. If I do it, I give y'all permission to bring a belt and whoop my behind. If they get him again, he's just there. I'm not spending another dime. Because he won't listen. Listen, you can't ask me to spend my money and then you don't want to listen to nothing I got to say. It just don't work. It don't work. And our children think that we owe them something, think that we ought to do this and we ought to do that. We owe you a high school education. We owe you a place to live, clothes on your back. Once that's done, we don't owe you nothing else. Anything we do after that is just extra. And so, young people, if you're going to make it in this life, you've got to obey the laws of the land. It's a terrible thing when you're bleeding your life away. This woman, as a result of her illness, there were laws during those days that impacted every area of her life. It was improper for her to have a social life. Listen, nobody would touch her. She could not touch anybody because anybody who came in contact with this woman was considered to be unclean as well. It impacted her religious life. She could not go to church because she would not be around church people. It impacted her romantic life. She could not be intimate with her husband. It impacted her economic life because the Bible says she used all of her money and now she's broke. As long as she had money, the doctors wanted to see her. But as soon as the money was gone, nobody wanted anything to do with her. Let me say to the young people, listen, you can't always do the buying. You can't always set up the house. Because as long as you got money, you'll have friends. But as soon as your money's gone, your friends are gone. Listen, there's an old saying that says, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, and the other one is gold. And I say that because you may go off to college. You may meet some people who you think are real good for you. But listen, it's the folk that have been with you when you didn't have nothing. Everybody want to be your friend when you got something. But the real friends are those that are there when you had nothing. She's broke. She has an issue. Now watch this. Her issue is a hemorrhage. She's hemorrhaging. Ladies, she has a persistent, pervasive hemorrhage. She's bleeding. She has a nonstop cycle. And it's for 12 years.
Now, the miracle of the story is really at the top of the story and not the bottom of the story. For how could she live for 12 years bleeding? Some of you have been bleeding for a long time. You've been hemorrhaging for a long time. And if the truth be told, it's a miracle that you still got your sanity today. It's a miracle that you can still come to the house of the Lord and give God praise because you've been hemorrhaging, bleeding for a long time. And the only way you've made it is because you had the Lord on your side. The only way you've been able to endure is because you had the Lord on your side. Listen, if it had not been for the Lord, and how many know I can't do nothing without him, but with him all things are possible. I don't care what you do in life. I don't care where you go in life. I don't care what you study. Maybe you may be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever your profession is. Listen, you can't do anything without the Lord. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how much money you make. You need the Lord. Anybody know that you need the Lord? I don't care what you do. Take the Lord along with you. Because there's going to be somebody out there trying to lead you astray and somebody that'll want you to stop doing what you're doing. Because I've discovered that people that are doing bad want you to do bad well. And so you've got to have enough discernment. You've got to have enough intelligence. You've got to have enough, my mama used to say, mother wit to know what's right and what's wrong. Because what your mom and daddy, your grandmama and others put in you, you've got to remember that. Can I get some old people in here today? When I say old, somebody older than them can be a witness that, listen, the only way you made it is because you remember what mama taught you, what daddy taught you. You remember what grandmama and granddaddy put in you. And as you go through this life, you've got to remember those things. Nobody knows her issue. It's private. Hers is covered, and there are a whole lot of women in here today who suffer private pain. Listen, it's one thing when I can share what I'm going through, but it's another matter when nobody can see what I'm dealing with, and I suffer with it in silence. It's on the inside, and some of y'all in here today, you smile good, you dress good, you look good, you go to church good, you go to work good. Nobody knows what you're going through, but you're dying on the inside because there's a private issue that you're dealing with that you're forced to cover so that no one will know that you don't feel as good as you look. Can anybody relate to that today? Can anybody say, listen, I've become good at covering up what I'm going through. I've become good at faking and saying hello. I've become good at faking a smile. I've become good at faking good morning. I've become good at faking a shout at church. But listen, deep down on the inside, where nobody sees what I'm going through, that nobody knows about, I'm dying on the inside. But unless you know the details, you'd never know what I'm going through. I'm talking to some mother in here today, some mother who's going through private pain of that with your child. Somebody can testify that you know the private pain of your child being in jail and wondering what you did wrong as a parent. It's a terrible thing when you have some private pain. Not only does she have private issue, but the Bible says that she ran out of money because unfixed issues always create new issues. Let me say that again. Unfixed issues always create new issues. Listen. Unless you deal with issues, they create some new issues. Now, something about this woman, we already know. Listen, we know she heard about Jesus. The text tells us it's obvious she heard about him because she was in the right place with the right crowd. We know that she got what she thought because she Mark's version tells us that she thought to herself. She said, "If I can just touch the hymn." Mark's version says she thought to herself and then spoke what she thought. So she said what she thought, she got what she thought, which means she got what she spoke. She got what she thought, she spoke what she ought to, which means that she got what she thought. It's called spoken faith.
And every now and then, listen, you're going to run into some situations that look like you ain't going to make it, that look like there's no way out. But listen, sometimes you got to be like this woman. You got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself, I'm going to make this grade. I'm going to pass this class. I know I got a hard professor. I know I got a hard class. But my God says that he'll supply everything that I need if I seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all this righteousness. How many know you got to talk to yourself sometimes? Am I by myself in here today? Is there anybody ever get by yourself and have a good conversation with yourself and say, self, everything is going to be all right. Self, I know I'm going to make it. Self, I know it looks dark. It looks bleak, but self, everything is going to be all right. Can I get a witness in here today that I'm not by myself, that there's some other folk in here today that talk to yourself, that answer yourself? That when I speak what I need, and when I speak what I need, I can get it. Let me explain that. Sometimes you've got to talk yourself into your own blessing. When you don't have nothing left, no money, no friends, all you got is yourself. You've got to learn again how to talk to yourself. You've got to say, self, I shall be healed. Self, I shall get the job. Self, I shall get the car. Self, I shall get the house. Self, I shall get the good grade. Is there anybody ever learned how to talk to yourself when nobody else would talk to you? She has the 12-year hemorrhage that doctors can't cure, and yet she says, if I just touch him, I'll be healed, because spoken faith speaks in the face of seemingly impossible odds. Spoken faith says, even though it doesn't look like it's possible, I know it's possible. See, spoken faith does not speak the obvious. Spoken faith speaks in the face of contradiction. That's why the devil gets mad at folk with spoken faith, because he thinks that if he can put enough contradiction in front of you, you won't speak against what you see. Is there anybody that's got some spoken faith that can say, I'm going to speak what I have in spite of what I see? That, listen, I know what it looks like, but listen, I'm not looking at what it looks like. I'm looking at what my God told me it can be, because my God said that, listen, I'm not the tail, I am the head. I'm not the borrower, I am the lender. So I'm going to look at it in the eyes of my Savior. Let me show you. In the beginning, God created because he spoke. Do I have a witness in here? The word said that he spoke chaos into cosmos. In other words, he spoke to nothing and it became something. He said, let there be light. And the implication is there was no light, which was there, listen, was nothing but darkness, which means when God speaks, he speaks to darkness about what he wants. I don't care how dark your life is, speak to the darkness in your life about God and watch the light come in, listen, where darkness was. Have I got a witness in here today that some situations look dark for you? It looks like it wasn't going to happen for you, but God made a way out of no way. Watch the light come in. We already know that she had a spirit of intentionality, because she said, if I can just touch him, don't need to talk to him, don't need a conference with him, no oil, because when you are desperate, whatever you can get, that's what you'll take. Wish I had a witness in here. Listen, you may not be able to eat the best meals at school. When I was in college, I ate a whole lot of potted meat. Y'all don't know what that is, but Vienna sausage, summer sausage. Amen. I had some cheese and mayonnaise sandwiches. They want sandwiches because all I had was bread, cheese, and mayonnaise. They were sandwiches. But listen, you may not have everything you want in college, if you go to college, or whatever you do in life. But listen, how many know that you can take a little bit and make a whole lot of it? Because we serve a God that specializes in taking a little bit of something and making more out of it. If you study the miracles of Christ, you will discover that this is the only miracle where Jesus didn't do the touching, but the sick person touched him. All the other miracles, the widow of Nain taking her son, Jesus touched the casket. Jairus' daughter, Jesus touched her. Every other miracle waited for Jesus to show up and touch it. But when you get desperate enough, you won't wait for him to come to you. You'll go chasing after him. I wish I had a witness in here today. Is there anybody in here who can say, listen, I'm a God chaser. I'm not going to wait on him to come to me. I'm not going to wait on him to show up. I'm going after him right now. Listen, I'm not waiting in the pew. I'm not waiting on nobody else to shout. I'm going to shout myself because I know what the Lord has done for me. I'm going after him. And I'm not going to stop until I get what I came for. I refuse to give up. Is there anybody came here for something today and you've decided that you're not leaving here without it? You've decided that you've spoken it and you believe God is going to give it to you. Anybody dealing with private issues that nobody knows about except you and God, and you've decided that if I showed up this morning, I'm not leaving here without what I came for. Listen, is there anybody can say, I know what the Lord has promised me, and I'm not going to leave until I get it? But in order to do that, you've got to have some determination. Final thing to these young people today, and I'm just talking to the young people today, you've got to have determination. Because some people are going to tell you it can't be done. They're going to tell you it's not possible. But you've got to have enough determination to know what you want and not not what your mama wants for you. Not what your daddy wants for you, but what you want for yourself. Because until you want it for yourself, it doesn't matter who else wants it, you've got to want it for yourself. And you've got to know where you want to go in life. And then you've got to be determined to get there. Listen, you may have to work your way through school. Maybe you don't have the kind of parents who have the money to pay for everything. Don't be too proud to get a job. You can work your way through school. If you've got a made-up mind, there's nothing can stop you. Because many of these older people here will tell you when they were coming up, they didn't have the opportunities that you have. They couldn't go to school. We were oppressed. Many had to quit school and work in the cotton fields and work around the farm to help their parents make it. But you've got every opportunity in the world. Don't let nothing and nobody stop you from getting what you want. This woman had enough determination to push her way through the crowd. And how many know, I told you a few Sundays ago that you've got to sometimes push your way through. That means you've got to pray until something happens. In order to get what God has for you, you've got to push. That means whatever is between you and God, you've got to push your way through it. Push your neighbor and say, get out of my way. I'm trying to get to Jesus. Anybody here trying to get to Jesus? You can't stop me. You can't block me. I'm on my way to see the King. I may be lame, but I'm on my way. And just like this woman had determination, young people, you've got to have that same determination. That even if you've got to push people out of your way, that even if you've got to do it the unconventional way. See, now you can go to school online. When we were going, if you wasn't in class, you didn't get it. You got every opportunity afforded you. The challenge is, what are you going to do with it? In 4 years, in 5 years, if I look at you, where are you going to be in life? In 10 years, what are you going to be doing with your life? I'll say this and I'm going to close. The son I was just talking about had every opportunity in the world. The lady my mother worked for,
She's dead now, but she was a multimillionaire. Put my oldest daughter through school. Didn't have to pay a dime. After she graduated, she gave her $1,000 a month for 4 years to help her get started. My son did the same thing. He started out at Arkansas Pine Bluff. Out-of-state schools are much more expensive, but they never uttered a word. Got to Arkansas Pine Bluff. Got with the wrong crowd. Got busted smoking dope. Had to leave Arkansas Pine Bluff. Went to the University of Houston. They paid for it. Did 4 or 5 semesters there. Got to partying. Flunked out. Went to Prairie View A&M. Went 4 or 5 semesters there. Got to partying. Flunked out. Every opportunity in the world afforded him. Didn't do anything with it. What are you going to do with your opportunity? What are you going to do with your opportunity? Don't smoke it away. Don't part it away. Don't drink it away. What are you going to do with your opportunity? Because you know what? We're depending on you to help stop the bleeding. We're depending on you to one day come back and say, "Mama Mariah, thank you for what you instilled in us." Even if you don't get a college degree, if you choose another profession, be the best at what you can be in whatever you do. We're depending on you. What are you going to do with it? The doors of the church are open today. If you're here by letter, Christian experience, candidate for baptism. Maybe like this woman, you've been bleeding. Something is sucking the life out of you. You don't have to wait for Jesus to come to you. You can go after him. And he can stop and dry up whatever issues you might have today. Would you come? Maybe there's some young person who says, "Pastor, you started me thinking today. My life has not been going in the right direction. I want to turn around and go another way." If you're here today, would you come by letter, Christian experience, as a candidate for baptism? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? He is a mighty good God. We can lean, trust, and depend on him. Would you come?